Follow the Money Weekly presents your precious metals market update. Here's Tom Cloud.
Jared, it's been that bloodshed week that has always been in the back of our mind that could happen, and certainly we have seen the drop on Friday that a lot of people feared and a lot of other people were looking forward to getting back in the market.
Well, let's take a look at this, because we have gold going down amid bank confiscation over in Cyprus, central bank buying at record numbers and the most in the last 50 years, and threats of nuclear missiles on the Korean Peninsula. All of these things are what drive gold up historically. What's going on?
Well, there's two things going on. We started seeing the shorts that with the future contracts that end next Thursday. We started seeing the shorts unwind early in the week, and prices came up a little bit because people were getting out of the shorts. And then once the Cyprus bank on Thursday decided to sell 10 tons of gold, being the first major central bank to sell gold in 4 years, because everybody else, like you said, is accumulating it. And then I think the news that really broke it was when the ECU said they may ask Italy, Portugal, and Spain, and Ireland to do the same thing to firm up their balance sheets where they don't have to go into a Cyprus-type event. And while none of them have liquidated any gold, it has certainly scared the market. Now, if you can imagine next Thursday, I can't imagine anybody shorting gold at $1,500 an ounce and silver at $26.50 an ounce. So we have to believe that today on Friday or Monday or Tuesday, these shorts will unwind, future contracts will expire, and there will not be the purchasing of shorts that we've seen at an all-time high for the April contracts of 2013.
What kind of concerns are you hearing from some of your more informed customers? What are they looking at, and how are they reacting to this news?
Well, there's two reactions. There's a reaction that how stupid are investors to think about selling into this, whether they have paper gold and ETFs or whether they have physical gold. So the first thing my people are telling me in Europe is, you know, Americans are stupid. They look at this thing and act like because it went down $50 that they've lost the money forever, when they don't look around and look at all the positive things of more people wanting to come in, major money waiting on that drop to come. They're only looking at certainly their losses, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I certainly feel that's had a strong comment from the people in Europe. And the other thing on the concern side is, of course, is the data just keeps coming out, you know, that the economy is just barely moving in spite of this huge quantitative easing around the world. The world economy just has no steam to produce the inflation that it will at some point. And, you know, it's kind of like crying wolf. Some people are tired of hearing the John Williamses and James Sinclairs that are trying to help them. So they're just literally tired of hearing them say that this is it, and, you know, it's getting ready to head back up. So you've got two sides of the equation as to what's going on, but certainly we'll know a whole lot more next week. But we have a lot of people behind today on Friday, and we have people wait the weekend out to see if any of the other central banks roll the towel in and liquidate.
Based on the numbers that I have access to, I see that the people who are selling gold, many of them are moving into equities, taking long positions in stocks. That could be dangerous for these people who are becoming all of a sudden bearish on gold when fundamentals favor gold and silver more than almost at any other time, and they don't favor stocks in the long run. I understand the pop in stocks right now. We're in an uptrend because of all the quantitative easing finally taking hold. But this will eventually turn around, and gold and silver will begin their next leg up. When does that happen, you think?
Yeah, certainly we're going into the time people usually say sell in May and go away until September, and then buy in September and hold until next May. And certainly there are people that still do that. But I just got to feel next Thursday when the June contracts, we'll see people, you know, going long or just staying on the sidelines. But the main thing that'll do is just stop the downside risk. And we just got to pray today as we tape this that gold stays above 1480. Did get down to 1491 earlier in the day. It's now back in to nearly 1510. but certainly 1480 is on the horizon after it broke the support earlier in the day. But I'd say next week, I think it starts back up. Now, I'm not telling you it's going to jump up dramatically, but we flush out a lot of the shorts. We get this central bank stuff absorbed in the market. We're hearing the Chinese is buying all of it, but that has not been confirmed in the media. That's just what I hear from my sources. And that Russia is also trying to open that one of the other countries will sell large quantities because they're buyers also of gold.
Now, looking at all of the week's action this week, we see the gold took a punishing loss today of 4% so far. And on Friday, it's down about 5% for the week. So that's, you know, that pretty much tells us that Friday was the big day for gold. Silver's down about 5%. It's down to $26.19 an ounce the last time I checked. Maybe it's a little higher now, but that's really something. What about silver at 26? Is now the time to pull the trigger, or what do the charts say?
Absolutely. I mean, there are people out there that think it's going to 23 or 24. And once again, it's not impossible. You've learned in this business to never say impossible, but certainly, there are a lot of buyers that once it went below 26.50, and once again, we'll know Monday for sure, but we're hearing the Stalker, the most famous metals trader in the world out of London, moved into silver today when it broke below 29.25. He went back in the market, and I don't know where it is right this second, but yeah, I mean, you got to look at that as a steal when the U.S. Mint's on a four-week delay for delivery, the Canadian Mint on a two-week delay, and Highland Mint on the new rounds on a 10-day, and the Austrian Philharmonic on a 7-8-day delivery. So you're seeing how much silver is being bought, and this paper silver game is very volatile, both to the upside and downside. I can remember 2010, clearly as it was yesterday, we went through 8 months of the year, and people says, well, you keep saying the silver is going to fly up. And it went up 60-something percent the last 4 months of the year and ended up 92% for the year in 2010, silver did. And this is one of those years, maybe not quite that dramatic, but certainly you could see silver easily go up 40% from where it is right now with this big drop today on Friday. So I certainly have participated in buying silver today. And once again, I'll probably buy more next week. I just don't think when you look at this year, this is cheap. It may get a little cheaper in the next few days, but once we go by next Thursday, I feel very safe buying silver at this level.
This looks like a big money shakedown by the elites in my estimation, because we've seen a growing short interest in shorts growing and growing and growing, despite the fact that central banks are buying gold at the highest levels and owning gold the highest levels in 50 years. You see the major banks like Goldman Sachs and some other French banks and also even Asian banks coming out to their clients and issuing sell signals on gold and silver, basically shaking loose the market, providing nice entry points for the elites who want to come in and buy this. Because look, Japan is doubling its monetary base. The United States remains fixed upon quantitative easing. You cannot in any way, shape, or form argue that all of this money printing is not going to drive up hard assets.
No, there's no argument about it. It's all a timing situation. And, you know, if you're hoping for much better prices than this, I mean, certainly it's a place to wait. I mean, it might go down, as we've said two or three times. But the point, Jerry, that you're making is nothing has changed from the fundamental side. I had a gentleman call this morning that saw my tape I did in February in California, and he said, my gosh, you talked all about this. He said, the fundamentals, you said they might try to shake everything out in the next few months, and said, you're exactly right. He said, but every fundamental chart you put up there to show people that you've got to think long-term by selling, you're doing exactly what the elite and the banking and the establishment want you to do. But certainly, as James Sinclair reported early in the week, and we sent out in our email blast, he's now got information that the government wanted to shake it down to buy more gold. They're now going to become a purchaser of gold because everybody realizes the solution to the world economic problem is going to have to go through gold, because it is the only investment in the world that every country can agree on. There is nothing else. So that is going to do it. And, of course, the more gold each country owns, the more say-so and input they're going to have into how the new world economically unfolds over the next decade. So, you know, you just got to have patience. And believe me, I would sell out if I thought the bull market was over, and I haven't sold an ounce, and most of my big clients have not sold any ounces. About half of them have purchased more.
I would say that if we see central banks becoming net sellers for a sustained period of time, that may indicate that the run is over. Would you agree with that?
I would, Jerry. I would agree if we saw the central banks going back to where they liquidated 6-10% of their reserves every year, or even one big sale. I would say that might be enough to do it, because China at that time might have enough for the short term that they won't. But that hasn't happened yet, and certainly we're going to watch closely to see what Italy, Portugal, Spain, and Ireland do.
But isn't gold acting somewhat strange, even considering the fact that North Korea is being as bellicose and belligerent, and the news cycle has an agenda to spook the American public? It looks like they want to go to war with North Korea. Typically in times like this, you've been doing this for 35 years, normally gold spikes right before a war is threatening to break out. Why is it not going?
I say to you, it may sound strange, but I have never, the more problems the governments have got you into, whether it's financial problems, deficit problems, war and rumors of war problems, just the public just does not think there's going to be a war. As many people as I talk to on a weekly basis, they'll say to me, I'll say this to them, what you just said is one of the fun, there's no way North Korea will ever shoot. They're not that stupid. They know they'd be blown off the map. So that's not even a consideration. And I said, well, how about Iran? You think Iran's not serious about if they get a nuclear warhead using it? Oh, no, they would never do that. But, I mean, the public as a whole has just gotten to where the people that have caused all the problems, they actually think they're going to solve all the problems. And nothing's going to solve the problems except God's money, which is gold. And I still think it's coming. I mean, I just don't know the time frame when China's ready to step up and take that reserve currency status. That's what we're waiting on.
I had to take a few extra blood pressure medications whenever I saw that in 2016, there looks like the mainstream press is pushing for a Hillary Clinton on the Democratic ticket, and it looks like they might be trying to push for a Jeb Bush on the Republican side. I cannot handle another Bush-Clinton election. I can't believe that the American people won't wake up and realize what's happening to their country, what's happening to their economy. These elites are driving us into the ground.
They are, Jerry, and that's the hard part. And it's really funny, all the years of talking about that, when it would come up, and I would tell people what I knew, and you know, they could see the conspiracy, they could see it out there. But now, all of a sudden, they don't even want to hear about it. You know, all they worry about, everything's at risk, and Obama's going to take my 401k, and he's going to take my IRA, and, you know, this is the kind of things. And certainly, that is very, very serious stuff. Don't get me wrong, but times have just changed. Investors have changed. This electronic world that we live in just makes everything, it's got to be instant satisfaction, and it's just a different world than I've been in the last 35 years. It's just people call and say, go way down $4. Since I bought it 30 minutes ago, you know, can I lower the price $4? We've changed. No, once I buy it, I bought it for you using my money. And you got to pay for it. So you have these things that you just never heard of years ago. But the public is just really too electronically tied. They just read and are so wishy-washy rather than just standing in the ground and looking at the fundamentals and having patience, knowing what's going to happen.
Okay, my guest today is Tom Cloud. He can be reached at 800-247-2812. That's 800-247-2812. He's a precious metals advisor. He's a dealer with gold and silver, palladium, platinum, even diamonds. You want to talk to him, you can call him. Tom, I'm wondering if you have an opinion on Bitcoin. What's your opinion on this new phenomenon?
I'm staying quiet on Bitcoin. Not a fan of it, but I'm not going to make any statements on it. There's so many people mesmerized by it, but you know, history tells us you got to be very careful. That's about the only comment I'll have on it.
To me, it seems as if it is an improvement on the fiat currency in some ways, but it doesn't have any intrinsic value, and we don't know who created it. I got to throw this out, Tom, because I can't help but think that it's possible that Bitcoin is another one of the banksters' ploys to divert money from the working poor to the elites. I mean, we have no clue who's running this. And
well, you're not the only person that believes that, Jerry. And the reason I won't comment on it is for that reason. I tried hard to find out who owns it. And all you can ever find out is, you know, who's running it. And that means absolutely nothing. And they're in a non-disclosure. They won't disclose any of that pertinent information. So certainly that's the main reason I'm not interested in commenting on it.
Yeah, I totally understand. All right, so why don't you just give us your outlook here for the rest of the year before we let you go on gold, silver, palladium, platinum. If you could put those in order based on how you think the returns are going to stack up at the end of the year, how would you put them in order?
Well, I'll give you an answer, but first let me say you've got to realize that the quantitative easing worldwide and whether it can crank up the world economies and create demand for the industrial metals, platinum, palladium, and then silver is a hybrid. It's an investment in industrial metal. So I think when you look at all that, if you're going to pick which one you think is going to do the best, it's going to be based on whether or not you think the world economy is going to stay out of a recession. And I do, because I think they'll keep printing money. And even though the figures in the U.S. and China are disappointing coming out, no matter how much they create, it doesn't seem to get the economy growing. At some point, all this money will lead to higher inflation. So with that said, I think the industrial metals, not safety-wise, gold's going to be your winner. Safety-wise, less volatility. But I do think the winner is going to be palladium, silver, and platinum in that order. I still think because of the hybrid of silver where the investor is interested that I'm now picking it to be number one by the end of the year from this day forward. And I think palladium will be two, platinum will be three, and gold will be four. But once again, gold could easily be number one if bad economic news came and any kind of recession started anywhere worldwide.
Interesting. Why don't you tell the folks how they can get a hold of you, Tom?
They can give me 800-247-2812, and they can email, and they can go to FTM Daily if they want my email blast. That's free service, and we don't share our list with anyone, and then go to FTMDaily.com and hit the Precious Metals button and sign up for our email blast if they'd like to.
Yeah, they can go to FTMDaily.com/gold. There you can get all kinds of educational resources that Tom and I have done over the years, and you can also sign up for his email list there. Tom, we have an exciting webinar coming up next week on the 16th. What are you going to be talking about there for the folks who want to sign up for that?
Well, we are going to be talking on this webinar. We are going to be talking about these fundamental things that you got to keep your eye on no matter what the market's doing. You've got to try to use common sense and decide when you're going to go in. It's undeniable when you look at the evidence we'll present on Tuesday night to investors that, you know, that you got to keep your eye that things are very positive for gold and silver at this point. So we'll be talking about that and certainly how to get money from an IRA into physical gold and silver. And we'll be talking about some of that, and we'll be talking about rare coins not getting lured in by telemarketing firms.
Very good. And we'll also be answering your questions, so come ready to ask questions to Tom Cloud about gold, silver, palladium, platinum, even diamonds. We might even talk a little bit about the diamond market, too, just a little update. Tom, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Jerry. Always a pleasure.